Welcome to Golf Talk, and what an exciting week it is for golf. The Knoxville Open, the Visit Knoxville Open, the Korn Ferry Tour event, is being played at Holston Hills Country Club this weekend. It will start on Thursday. There was a pro-am today. There'll be a pro-am tomorrow. But this is the week, and Holston Hills looks like it is in terrific shape. I know the golfers really enjoy coming here, but this is a big week for golf in Knoxville, and there was qualifying at both Three Ridges and Oak Ridge Country Club. We'll get to some of those results momentarily. Braxton Hunter, how are you doing?
I'm good, Jimmy. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. You played in one of the qualifiers for the Knoxville Open at Oak Ridge.
Yeah, I teed it up this morning at Oak Ridge Country Club. Shot 2 under par. Believe it or not, 2 under was 6 off of what it took to get through at Oak Ridge. Oak Ridge 64, which is 8 under par, ended up getting in clean. They didn't even have a playoff, so four got in at 64. So it was obviously in those, it takes a really low score. That kind of going into it. So got to get that momentum going, and mine just kind of stalled a little bit. I played well. I just didn't make enough putts to have around like 64.
Yeah, that's pretty good shooting out there. Over at Three Ridges, a couple of 63s were in there, and they had seven were in a playoff for 3 spots at Three Ridges. But we'll get to all of those results in just a minute. But we will tell you, we'll go ahead and start off with our local news and notes. And our local news and notes are brought to you by Three Ridges. Three Ridges Golf Course, set in the shadows of the Great Smoky Mountains. Three Ridges Golf Course is one of Knoxville's premier public golf facilities. It challenges all ages. It challenges all skill levels. You can find out more by visiting knoxcounty.org. All right, Korn Ferry event, as we mentioned, where it's going to be held. There are sponsors exemptions for David Holmes, Tom Forster, Andres Gonzalez, Blaine Barber. We will be joined by Tom Forster at about 7:20, and then at 7:40, Chris Dibble of Holston Hills Country Club will join us. We mentioned the qualifying, so we'll get right to that. At Three Ridges, you had two players that shot 63 to get into the qualifying. That's Nolan Ray from Spring Hill. Is he a former Tennessee golfer?
Yeah, he was. He played, I believe, 2 years at Tennessee and then finished his career at Lipscomb.
Okay. And then Connor Musselman of Louisville, they each shot 63. That's 9 under par. There were 7 in a playoff for 3 spots, and they were in at 66. And those advancing were Sam Love of Trussville and Christopher Peatfish of Cummings, Georgia. So those are the ones that have advanced, and that's from Three Ridges. The qualifiers at Oak Ridge Country Club included all of them that shot 64, that's 8 under par, Jared Swada of Hawaii, then you've got Brian Ritchie of Florida, Daniel Wetterick of Cincinnati, Bo Hayes of Birmingham. So those are the ones that qualified. And so congratulations to them. They'll be teeing it off on Thursday in the Korn Ferry Tour event, the Visit Knoxville Open. All right, a few of the notes out there. We had the Fairways and Greens Kids Clinic. Over 200 showed up on Saturday. Braxton, tell us more about that.
It was so cool, Jimmy. They had 200, I believe, register, and then they left it open where you could come without registering as well. So we estimated, I believe they ended up getting a count of about 235 or somewhere around that. It was a cool setup. We had quite a few of us that helped with the instruction part, so they could come get a quick 5-minute lesson from one of the instructors. Then they had some putting challenges set up. They used our Top Tracer range, which was pretty cool. And they had some what's called snag golf, where you've got like kind of a Velcro ball that you hit onto a target that kind of sits up. That's pretty cool for some of the younger kids. So they had quite a few good things. They had some ice cream out there for the kids. Adrian Pierce was grilling some hot dogs. It was really good. So we had a good time. The music was going. People, you know, the weather wasn't exactly the best. It was kind of that cool, a little bit misty morning, but it didn't stop the people from coming out. That's for sure. And it was cool to see all the kids out there.
And what was the age group for the kids?
That's a good question. I don't know exactly where that break ended up being, but it was a ton of little kids. I mean, I had one as little as 4 that came through my station, And it's just cool to see kind of the excitement to get the ball in the air at that age. And, you know, just some of the talent that's in our area that is kind of raw and kind of new in golf just through the last few years, to see a lot of the kids that their parents might have just got into playing, and all of a sudden they're taking them out to the driving range or taking advantage of the Scott Stallings Kids Play Free program. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a lot of people mention that, so it was pretty cool to see all the people that are taking advantage of that.
Tennessee men's golf team, they're headed to the NCAAs. They're going to Bryan, Texas, which is outside of College Station, which is where Texas A&M is. That's May 16th through the 18th. Tennessee, a 4 seed. The top 5 in each region advance to the NCAA championships, which will be played at Greyhawk in Scottsdale, Arizona, May 27th to June 1. In the region that Tennessee is playing in, the 1 seed Pepperdine, 2 seed A&M, 3 Georgia, 4 Tennessee, 5 Kansas. All right, Knoxville Pro-Am Series. So the Country Club of Morristown, that was back on April the 25th. Walt Chapman was a low pro at 69. The first place team included Chapman, Ricky Moore, Andy Shelton, George Kabalka. And they also tied for this team, which included Chapman, Jerry Curitan, Larry Wilson, David Burnett. At Wind River, Braxton Hunter with a 64, 3 twos on the card, 4 threes on the card. Braxton, that's pretty good shooting.
I needed that today. I'd be playing at Holston at the end of this week if I had that today, or at least I would have had a chance. I'd have been in a playoff.
So you played the par threes and 3 under?
No, so actually one of those twos, Jimmy, was on a par five.
Par five?
Yeah, I made what's called an albatross. No. I made a double eagle on number 12, the par five that goes kind of straight up the hill.
What'd you get in?
I had a 5 wood, and Walt Chapman and Tommy Bahama Wilson were my group that I played with, and both of them, we had a pretty good time. It was fun kind of going up to the green, and, you know, you think it's probably over when you don't see the ball. I was like, it's probably just got over the back and a little swale, and then I saw the ball mark, and I was like, nope, this thing's in the hole. And Walt was like, I think you made it. I was like, yep, sure did. So it was pretty cool.
Was that your first albatross?
No, I've actually had 3. That was my third. I had one at 7 at Oak Ridge Country Club, and I had one at 18 at Holston Hills, believe it or not, out of all the par fives at Holston. That was my second, and then I had the third one last Monday, which was pretty cool.
Did you see any of them go in?
No, because every one of them's a blind, basically a blind green.
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, from that distance, it'd probably be tough to see anyway, unless it was maybe a downhill shot from that far, but definitely didn't see the one at Wind River, because you can barely see the flagstick on that green because it just sits straight up the mountain.
So the first place at Wind River is Braxton Hunter, Jeff Zoller, Don Ward, Donald Lee. Also, Braxton was first, second, and third, his teams. The low amateur that day was Mike Rubel, shot a 69, Jerry Glenn and Gene Hine with a 71. Also, the Tennessee North Carolina Media Challenge that was held, that's the Battle of the Smokies, the 10th annual, held at Springdale. That's Crusoe, North Carolina. Why do I bring that up? Well, I was a captain somehow. I got stuck with that job. Tennessee won 32.5 points to 27.5. 9 of the 10 Tennessee players scored at least 4.5 points out of a possible 8. This was a Ryder Cup format, and it was a lot of fun to do it, a lot of fun to beat the North Carolina team. And now North Carolina and Tennessee are tied at 5-all in this challenge.
Since you won, Jimmy, you'll be probably the captain next go-around, too. You know that, right?
I told them that I'm retiring undefeated. I'm going to find another captain. and my golf tournament is coming up. The Jimmy Himes Kenny Withers Golf Challenge is June the 10th at Guaney Farms. Benefits are Toma Center. You can call Mike Smith at 865-524-5563, extension 239. Or you can email him at mike@sertoma.com. We've been doing this 22 years, raised $780,000. The goal this year is $50,000. So if you want to play, want to be a sponsor, please jump aboard. Lady Vols Golf, Michaela Bardwell. She'll be playing individually in the Nashville area at the Vanderbilt Legends Course, May the 9th through the 11th, representing Tennessee. Her scoring average, 73.05. Had a terrific year, but she's playing in the NCAA, so we wish the best for her. Also, I tell you what, I want to go ahead and jump to something I thought was interesting. We're going to jump to our topic. That's brought to you by Sevierville Golf Course. Sevierville Golf Course. They've got two of the best courses in the Smokies. They feature the Highlands and the River Courses. They've hosted the state championships. They've hosted the South Atlantic Conference Championships. You can call 865-429-4223 or visit SevierevilleGolfClub.com. All right, here's our topic. So Thursday at the Wells Fargo Tournament in Maryland, Sergio Garcia, on the first day of the tournament, he hooks his drive on the 10th hole to the left. He goes over to look for his ball, and they said he took too much time. They assessed a one-shot penalty. They said he took 4.5 minutes to find his ball. You're given 3 minutes to find your ball. PGA officials started the clock too soon, however, because Garcia was trying to figure out a way to get across the water to go find his ball, which was on land. He wasn't looking for the ball yet. PGA admitted the mistake, yet they still penalized him one shot. They said that's the rule. Garcia made a par on the hole. His reaction, I can't wait to leave this tour. Just a couple more weeks, and I don't have to deal with you anymore. Blah, 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 BS, he said. And then he refused to talk to the media after the round, but he was informed of the situation. So it's a bizarre deal. Why in the world would the PGA look at this, realize they made a mistake, and not take that penalty away from him?
I mean, what a terrible rule. Number one, I think the consensus from almost everybody I've talked to in golf is one of the biggest errors that they made in trying to quote unquote speed up the game was to make the lost ball time limit 3 minutes, because it used to be five.
Right.
And five is an adequate amount of time to search for a ball, and it does not slow down the play. So looking for the ball, number one, and having to find it in 3 minutes. That 3 minutes, if anybody's ever been actually timed on that, which I have, goes really fast. So most of your people that are playing and are looking for a ball, I guarantee you probably look more than 3 minutes a lot of times and don't really know it. They're not, yeah, you know, knowingly cheating the rule. In this circumstance, with the 3 minute clock not even starting, or it shouldn't have started, let's say that, when they weren't technically looking for the ball, he's trying to get to the other side of the water.
Right.
And then the aftermath of it, which I think most people listening know Sergio's history in kind of, we'll call it childish reactions. So was he wronged? Absolutely. Was his reaction justified somewhat? Probably. Was it the reaction he probably should have had? No. But, you know, under the heat of the moment, that's kind of his, and we'll call it that same thing we've talked about with John Rahm a little bit, that Spanish, like, oomph, like he has that, yeah, that, and I guess that tells you he's going to go play the Saudi Arabian tour.
Exactly, yeah. We'll have to deal with this in a couple of weeks.
In a couple of weeks. So, I mean, it just kind of gave away that part, I guess, and his part. But I disagree with the rule. I think, and especially after the fact, that should have been, it should have been rectified in that moment. Like that, mm-hmm. You can't go back after the fact, because he's going to be assessed the penalty for a lost ball and play it as a lost ball. So that's why they can't retroactively take that stroke back. Like it's how it's played at that time. So it's a terrible, terrible rule in my opinion.
You know, what's interesting to me is that you can admit that you made a mistake, but if you find that a guy did something incorrectly on the course and you assess him a penalty after the round's over, yep, you'll add a stroke.
Yeah, I can't take one back, apparently.
Yeah, I just thought that was bizarre. I wasn't aware that you could admit you made a mistake and then but the ruling
stands. Oops, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we're not gonna change that. So anyway, I thought that was kind of bizarre. All right. We got a lot more coming your way. We got a golf tip, which we'll talk about later. We got some pro news and notes. There was another multiple winner on the PGA Tour as well. And then again, we've got the Houston Hills hosting the Korn Ferry Visit Knoxville Open. So we got that coming up. But next on the agenda, we're going to visit with a player that qualified last year. Not only qualified, had a brilliant final round, and ended up in the top 10 in the field. And that's Tom Forrester when we come back. with Braxton Hunter. I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Golf Talk. With Braxton Hunter, who's an instructor at Fairways and Greens. He's been the winner of the TGA Teacher of the Year and Player of the Year. I'm Jimmy Himes, and we're pleased now to be joined by a very special guest. He's the guy that's got a sponsor's exemption. He played in it last year, and our interview with him is brought to you by Willow Creek. It's one of the top public courses in East Tennessee. Willow Creek has hosted the Knoxville Open. It's hosted the Tennessee State Open, U.S. Open qualifying. To make a tee time, you can call Willow Creek at 675-0100, 675-0100. I guess Tom Forster, who played at Carson Newman. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jimmy. How are you doing?
We're doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us. What was your reaction to getting a sponsor's exemption into the Visit Knoxville Open?
I mean, I was ecstatic. It was actually the week before I was getting married as well. So it was a lot of good information all at one time, but I felt after how I played last year, I stood a pretty good chance of getting it. So it was a nice surprise, but I was kind of hoping it was coming.
Well, you had a top 10 finish last year, and in the final round, you shot a 65. Just take us through the tournament a year ago and how well you played, and maybe if you even surprised yourself a little bit.
Yeah, it was a really special week. I mean, it was so nice to have everyone out there and be able to play from home, you know, go home after a round and be able to chill with my girlfriend or wife now. And it was just everything together was just a wonderful week. And obviously when you're just having fun and having a good time, the good scores will follow, I guess. So it was a really special week.
How does that experience last year, Tom, kind of go into how your mindset is this week, kind of going into the tournament and, you know, the familiarity with playing well at Holston and kind of having that success from last year? How can you kind of benefit or have the momentum carry on into this tournament this year?
It's just knowing that I've hit all of the golf shots before, and you know, I've seen the golf course a bunch of times. I know what I'm doing out there. I know what to expect. So, you know, playing last year and playing good, you just kind of got to remember the shots that you hit, how you played them, where not to miss golf shots. And but having the experience last year is definitely going to help me this year. And just being able to sort of like bring on memories from last year and just try and replicate them where I need to.
How also do you kind of feel about your game leading into this week? You know, it's obviously a year removed from your performance last year. So kind of tell us about your game right now and what's kind of the strength of your game and what'll kind of lead you over hopefully the finish line this week.
Yeah, I've been playing pretty solid this year. I've kind of, my game feels pretty well-rounded. I'm driving the ball really good. And I think at Holston, you've kind of got to keep it in the fairway so you can attack them pins, especially when it starts getting a little firmer out there. You need to have your control over your ball. So I think driving it long and straight this week is going to be incredibly important, and I feel like that's kind of a strength in my game right now. So,
Tom, has there been any change in your game from a year ago to where your strategy will be different at Holston Hills?
Not really. The only thing I would say that's changed is my mindset, really. Last year when I was playing, it was kind of, I was just happy to get through the Monday, and I feel like I'm in a better, obviously I played really well last year, but I'm in a bit of a different mindset this year where I'm like, okay, I can do it. There's no stress about how I perform. I can kind of just go out there and make as many birdies as I can and try and win the thing rather than just going out and trying to not mess up, if you know what I mean.
So after the Holston Hills performance, what was your schedule like last year, the next few weeks?
Well, it was a bit rushed after that. We went to Kansas City because obviously the top 25 got me into that, and then got some bad luck over there, missed the cut by I think one or two. Had flared a ball into the trees and lost it right in front of a marshal, but that's not part of the story. And then I had a form tour, and it was a tough year after Knoxville. I think when I had my hopes that high after playing that good, I kind of expected to bounce on from there and just keep that kind of momentum going, and it just didn't quite happen for me. So in golf, I mean, you're just trying to give yourself that one opportunity to have a breakthrough. And I almost took it at Knoxville, but after that, it was kind of just, I missed a couple cuts here and there, and game just didn't feel so strong. So it was not so much Corn Ferry, just trying to play, get momentum, try and get back on that Corn Ferry tour.
So this year, Tom, tell us kind of give us a peek behind the curtain on what you're working on in your game currently, and kind of what you feel, you know, your biggest strength is, aside from driving it long and straight, just kind of that's going to make you score well this week.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a lot of work with my short game. I mean, obviously you can drive it long and straight, but if you can't get the dang thing in the hole, it's no good. So putting, chipping, and wedges have been, I've been trying to fine tune them, get them so I can really control my ball around the greens. And that's, it's not just for Holston, it's obviously for my all-round game, but I think it's going to be very beneficial coming up to playing in Holston.
And also kind of give us your future plans for the rest of this season, kind of what your schedule look like after the Knoxville Open this week.
Yeah, the only thing I'm really, it's funny, I normally have my schedule planned sort of 2-3 months in advance, but I'm trying to be very single-minded about this week and be like, this is not plan anything yet, because I'm trying to obviously win, but if not, try and top 25 into next week in Kansas City and go from there. Other than that, it's just Q school in October would be the only thing I've honestly got planned right now. I'm trying to just kind of keep focused on this and give it my all and hope it works out and keep going on the Corn Ferry.
Tom, is the par going to be 71 or 70 at Holston Hills? Do you know?
I think it's going to be 70. It goes off of the boards on the course. I think it's par 70.
Does that change you at all? Because I guess 7 and 17 will be the par fours. Does that change the way you play those holes at all?
No, it's kind of one of them. I was playing like today. I played in the pro am and I made a 4 on 17. And I was like, all right, that's a pretty good birdie. And I get onto the next tee and Antonio, my caddy, goes, yeah, that's not a par 5 anymore, Tom. That's a par 4. So you kind of just play it as it comes, and you just kind of, you know, you make whatever score it happens, and it doesn't really make a difference whether you're putting for a birdie, par, or eagle. I mean, it's all relevant.
Well, Tom, we wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully another top 10 finish or even better. Look forward to following you during the tournament, and good luck to you.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
That is Tom Forster. He's a product of Carson Newman, and again, made the cut last year, made the top 10 last year with that final round 65. So a great performance by him. Braxton, you've seen him play. What's Tom's strength?
He's just solid. It's kind of, I won't say he doesn't have any weakness, but it's not very much. I mean, he's really good off the tee, long, straight, got a really good short game, putts it good. You know, we saw his performance in the Knoxville Open last year as proof of that. I mean, it wasn't a fluke that he played the way he did and had that top 10 finish. And I'll say this, I think he's one of the local favorites, if not the local favorite, to have the best chance, to have a chance to win the golf tournament. And I say that because of the history there and how he played last year and the momentum that he can build from that performance and the confidence it gives you. I mean, they say all the time on the PGA Tour, there's horses for courses. And you see a lot of times people play well at certain courses that fit their eye, or kind of has the feel like that to me, that Tom could be that person for Holston Hills.
Yeah. So we wish him the best. Another local player, David Holmes. So we'll see how he does as well. All right. I want to jump to our golf tip, and our golf tip is brought to you by Fairways and Greens, practice made perfect. They handle club fitting. They also have the top tracer to illustrate your distance, your apex, a curve. You can also play virtually on several world famous courses. Call 777-GOLF. That's 777-4653. All right. I want to ask you about this, and what he just said about number 17 at Holston playing as a par four changes a little bit of my thinking here. But a lot of the pros go for the green and two at Holston Hills Country Club. I mentioned there would be three par fives that they would do that on. Now it looks like two.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you this. At the pro level, the stats show that the better you score better if you go for the green and two. Now, that's with the pro level. If you're an amateur, I just wonder how much of that depends on your ability to hit a three wood or a long iron, or maybe the trouble around the green. What would your advice be to the amateur player, the 6-12 handicapper? Should you go for it in two or lay up to a comfortable distance and perhaps wedge it in?
I think it's situationally dependent. In other words, there's certain par fives where there's no benefit in laying back short versus if you try to hit it closer to the green if there's not any trouble around the green. So say a hole will go to 17 at Holston, where, and that is normally a par five for everybody that's listening. So we'll go right. 17 for a normal day. The bailout or the area around the green isn't super severe to hit a shot around the green. If you try to go for number 18 at Holston and you maybe are on the downslope, you're trying to hit a three wood up in the air uphill, and there's trouble right and left. There's weeds left. There's a bunker left. There's really not a whole lot of room.
Right.
Correct. There's not a whole lot of room up there around the green. And maybe even if you hit a pretty good shot, you might still have a difficult pitch, you know, over a bunker to maybe a side hill slope. I think, you know, stuff like that, that's where you may lay back just a fraction, where you can just hit maybe a full wedge shot in from 100 yards. So I had a guy the other day, and when you wrote this up, it kind of it jarred my memory, and he was asking about, you know, his par five game was struggling. And I was like, so tell me your strategy. Like, what's your thought on hitting the par five? Well, he was like, I just try to lay it back to the 150. I was like, well, I'll tell you this. If you're at 150 and I'm at 30 yards, I'm going to beat your brains in. I mean, I'm going to beat you anyway from probably 150. But if you're giving me a 30 yard pitch shot, and you've got 150 yards, your chances of hitting the green from 150 yards is like a 6-12 handicaps, not very high, and especially not close to the hole. So if you at all costs can get it, even if you are laying up, get it within a wedge distance to be able to score, that is paramount in my opinion. So being able to get it, even if you are laying up into a spot where you can hit a wedge to have a chance to get it close to the hole, that's huge.
Here's another thing about 18 and Holston Hills, and I don't know if it's going to be like this, but during the tournament last year, they kind of shaved it around the green to where if you hit it a little bit short, it rolled all the way back down the hill. Now, typically when I play it, it'll stay up there, but they've shaved it back to where it's going to roll back to you. That would be another factor. If you're not really precise, and you also, it's no bargain to go long either.
No, absolutely.
Because that green is so fast.
Well, and you have, you've played out there enough, Jimmy, to know how fast that particular green is because of the slope. And the shot from where it'll roll back to, which would be probably in the neighborhood of 45 to 50 yards, is really difficult to stop short of the hole, because the pin on a normal basis is going to be towards the front, because that's about the only flat part of that green. So you're going to end up having a putt from behind that's, even to the pro level, faster than those guys think a lot of times. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out during the tournament this week.
So the moral of our story on the golf tip is, don't lay it up to 150, lay it up to 100.
Yes, lay it up.
Get a little closer.
Lay it up closer, please.
All right, that golf tip brought to you by Fairways and Greens. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Chris Dibble with Holston Hills Country Club. We'll visit with him about a variety of things regarding the course and how excited the folks are at Holston Hills to be hosting the Visit Knoxville Open. With Braxton Hunter, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Golf Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Braxton Hunter. Very pleased now to be joined by Chris Dibble, Director of Golf at Holston Hills Country Club. And our segment with Chris, oddly enough, brought to you by Holston Hills Country Club. With memberships tailored to families, corporations, residents, and non-residents, A membership at Holston Hills brings together families, friends, and colleagues for sport and kinship. It's home of the Corn Ferry Tour event, and you can find out more by going to HolstonHills.com. Chris, how are you?
I'm great, Jimmy. How are you?
We're doing wonderful, and I know the membership at Holston Hills is excited about this week. How excited are you about the visit Knoxville Open?
We're very excited. Our whole team is thrilled to have it here. You know, we had a great time with it last year. We learned a lot, and we're really excited this year. The golf course is in fantastic shape, so it's really great to have some great players in town to test the course.
You said you learned a lot. What did you learn, and what will you implement differently, perhaps?
You know, we basically learned that working together with Tour Visions Promotions and, of course, Visit Knoxville, I mean, it's just been such a seamless partnership, and things are really going well, and the volunteer base that they have is just incredible. And, you know, everybody works together and talks amongst each other, and we help them, they help us. And so it's just been a great relationship all the way around.
Hey, Chris, talk about the number of fans. You know, last year during the kind of quote-unquote COVID year, the fans were a little bit reduced, and, you know, there's going to be apparently a ton of people out there this year. Kind of talk about your expectations on how many people are going to show up at Holston Hills this week.
Sure, Braxton. Love to do that. I think there's going to be quite a few there. They've added a couple extra grandstands. They added one to the left of 18 Green that wasn't there last year. They've added one to the right of number 11 and moved some things around there with the hospitality areas that are to the left of 17. I mean, we expect a little bigger crowd than last year. Last year we had a great crowd around Tom Forrester, who was a qualifier and, of course, a local Carson Newman player, and he finished in the top 10, and now he's back this year and ready to play. So we're excited to get some fans out there to follow him for sure.
Just talk about just hosting the event, like from the member standpoint. You know, I know a lot of the members out there, obviously, and the feeling I've gotten has been pride and kind of a want to. Like, it's not been a negative at all. Like, that's kind of, I won't say shocking, but, you know, a lot of people giving up their golf course for an entire week plus for the event. Just kind of talk about the attitude of the membership and kind of the how they've embraced the event.
Yeah, it can be taxing on the members for sure. I mean, we restrict some cart rules about 3 weeks in advance, and then we make the cart rules a little tighter a week in advance. But honestly, the Visit Knoxville and Tour Vision Promotions have been so great to let our members play all the way up to the event. So they do lose 8 days of golf, and that is kind of taxing on them. But they're so excited to have some of the future stars of the PGA Tour to be going around their golf course. And not to mention, we have so many golf professionals that are members at Holston. And David Holmes received a sponsor's exemption. He's a member at our place. And, I mean, so the membership will be out there behind him and supporting him. It's just an exciting week for everybody, really.
Chris, in regard to the par, it's going to be 70 this year instead of 71. Is that a PGA decision?
That is, absolutely. The PGA Tour makes that call. They've changed 7 and 17, which are regularly par 5s for the members. They'll be par 4s again this year, and it'll play to a par 70. And we've actually added 2 tee boxes, 2 and 9, have the potential to play much longer if the tour decides to use them. Oh. And I'm not sure if that decision has been made final yet or not.
Okay. You mentioned having more fans there. What's the parking situation? What should fans know about parking?
Great question. So fans will be allowed to park at Chilhowee Park, which is only a couple miles from the club. And then they'll bus them right up to the front entrance and take them through the Hall of Champions in front of the club. And then they come right through the bottom gate there, and they're right there above 18 Green.
Okay, and that's the only parking area, Chilhowee Park?
It is for the patrons,
okay.
Yes.
For patrons, yes.
The volunteers obviously can park closer, but
sure.
For the patrons, they'll need to park at Chilhowee Park.
Okay, and do you need more volunteers, or are you in good shape there?
They're in great shape, but we can always use more volunteers. You know, all the help, whatever help we can get, we'll take it. You know, so there's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts. So I think they can go to the visitknoxvilleopen.com website, and there's a link there to volunteer, and I'm sure they'll be glad to have you.
Also, I wanted to get your reaction from the players in the field from last year. What did they say about Holston Hills, and what did they say about playing there in the Corn Ferry event last year?
Sure. So I don't know. I'm assuming this is true, but a couple of the officials told us this week that our golf course was the favorite course on tour last year. I'm sure there's some other courses out there that will probably say the same thing. So, you know, we very humbly receive that and take it and appreciate it. You know, we're blessed to have such a great golf course and what Donald Ross has left us. And to have a superintendent and a staff like Ryan Blair, I mean, you can't match what this guy does. And his team has put in so much effort on this golf course. And it is so lush right now. The greens are perfect. We just wish we hadn't had those rains that we had last week and earlier this week, because it really did kind of soften up the golf course, which is great for the players and the low scores. But it's just that the golf course is so good right now. I think the players are really going to be excited to play it.
For anybody that's listening that hasn't purchased tickets, Chris, kind of talk them through the process and the best way to go about getting tickets this week for the Visit Knoxville Open.
Sure, they make it pretty seamless. Again, you would go to Chilhowee Park and just park there, and they'll bus you over. And like I say, you go down through that Wall of Champions, and then there'll be a ticket counter right there, and you can purchase tickets on site. I think they're $10. I'm not for sure. Daily passes, I believe, are $10. But we hope we get a ton of people out there and just show off the property and certainly show them what a PGA Tour Corn Ferry event looks like.
Hey, Chris, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you out there a lot this week. And it should be a great tournament. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Y'all take care.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Dibbs.
Chris Dibble, Director of Golf, and our interview with him brought to you by Holston Hills Country Club. Now time for our pro news and notes. And those are also brought to you by Holston Hills. How about that? Let's jump on that. Wells Fargo Tournament, Maryland. They have played different courses through the year. Max Homa gets his second win of the season, his fourth PGA win of his career. He's the fifth double winner this year. Shot an 8-under total. He beat Keegan Bradley by a couple. And then Homa and Rory McIlroy are the only two-time winners of this Wells Fargo event. And by the way, I'm watching this thing, and on number 15, this is on Sunday, Rory McIlroy hits a drive 360 yards. The average drive for the other pros is 290. That doesn't seem fair.
Braxton. It's pretty unbelievable. And if you saw him in person, it's just the size of him to be able to hit it that far is mind-boggling. I mean, it's unbelievable how far that guy hits it pound for pound.
He certainly got into weightlifting, though, didn't he? He's pretty fit.
Yeah, definitely fit and strong, no question, but he is not a very big human being.
Nope. And Bradley just made too many mistakes down the stretch. He left some chips and some putts short, and I wonder, is that a sign of nerves?
I think so a little bit. You know, Jimmy, he hasn't really been in the hunt in a few years, and having Homa's success of late, I think, benefited Max a ton coming down the stretch. And the golf course obviously played tremendously difficult. The weather was a factor. I mean, I believe the high there yesterday was only like 50 degrees. So it was cold. It was wet. It played really long. And that fescue rough, the fescue / bluegrass was just brutal. Yeah. It looked like, I mean, you couldn't even see the golf ball. So it was interesting to watch. I mean, I watched a good majority of that final round yesterday, and just the kind of, I won't say carnage, but it's like, I think it's good that the tour kind of has all facets. Like, you have some of the golf courses that the pros will go pretty low on, and then you'll have these where you know, you got to grind it out. And I don't think one's like way more entertaining to watch than the other, but I think having that variety is huge, and being able to see the, you know, par is a good score on a lot of cases. And then in that final round, it was definitely a good one.
Five multiple winners on tour this year: Homa, Scottie Scheffler, Cam Smith, Victor Hovland, Hideki Matsuyama. Phil Mickelson lost $40 million in gambling, according to Alan Shipnick's book, which is coming out soon. Auditors looking into his insider trading found it from 2010 to 2014. So that's basically a five-year period where they found he lost $40 million in gambling. He may have lost a whole lot more before or after that. So, but I know there's not a surprise, Braxton, that he lost money gambling. I wonder if it's a surprise that he lost that much.
I mean, I think maybe a little bit. I think it'll be interesting to see kind of what all else comes out in that book. You know, it's due to be released on the week of the PGA Championship. So to kind of have that part, and in particular, I guess he let a little teaser out there, Shipnuck did, on letting us into that part. I think there's going to be a lot more than that that's published in that book. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how the narrative on Phil Mickelson kind of changes. Like, I think we've obviously seen a different side publicly this year to his typical public persona he's had for his entire career, you know, the thumbs up and everybody, you know, quote unquote, everybody loves Phil. It's not necessarily the case that he's almost turned into Don Johnson's character in what was it, 10 Cup, where he's just like kissing the babies on camera, and then, you know, smoking a cigarette in the back and cussing everybody out on the when the camera's not on. It's like just the weirdest thing ever.
He's also turned into Howard Hughes. He's disappeared. Yeah. Nobody knows where he is.
Yeah, so. Kind of the missing man.
However, Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods right now are in the field for the PGA at Southern Hills, that's in Tulsa. Phil Mickelson won the PGA last year at age 50. That's May 19 to 22. Do you think Phil and Tiger actually tee it up?
I would bet more on Tiger playing than Phil. I mean, it's a big sign, in my opinion, that he's in the final field, which was released today. And that ups my probability of him, of talking about Phil, actually playing in the tournament. But I would definitely bet more on Tiger playing. And based on a couple of things, number one, Tiger's already gone and scouted the golf course, and he doesn't go scout the golf course for fun. So his thought is getting his body ready to walk 72 holes and try to win the PGA Championship. We haven't seen Phil since, I believe, February was the last time, maybe the beginning of February, end of January. And it'll just kind of be a shock, and to see him and to see how the press conference will go, because they're required to do it. So he'll be sitting there in front of the press on one of the days leading up to the tournament, and it'll be interesting. Probably one of the most listened to or watched press conferences, and that doesn't involve Tiger Woods in history.
So Phil Mickelson, Robert Garrigus, Lee Westwood have asked the PGA for a release to play in the first event on that Saudi Arabia tour. That's in June in England. It's a three-day tournament. There are 48 players. First place, I believe, pays about $5 million. Lee Westwood has also indicated while he's going to go in that direction, you wonder if it jeopardizes his ability to be a Ryder Cup captain in the future. There were reports that he turned down being the captain in 2023, so we'll see. Greg Norman said that there were 200 that registered for the London event. There are two former number ones in that group, and also 15 top 100 players in that group. Sergio Garcia also is obviously going to be joining them as well. And then we had the Champions event that was in Duluth, Georgia. Steve Flesh wins it. He shot 11 under. How about this trio at 10 under that he beat? Fred Couples, David Toms, Patrick Harrington. And Ernie Els was at 9 under.
Yeah, pretty good.
That is pretty good company, absolutely. So, all right, those are our pro news and notes brought to you by Hostin Hills Country Club. And we need to get to this very important note, our Knox Area Player of the Week, brought to you by Donnie Dean Cosmetics. Donnie Dean Cosmetic Dentistry. Hey, don't lose time on the golf course because of your bad crown. Go see Dr. Donnie Dean for your CEREC one-day crown and enjoy more time playing golf. Well, our Player of the Week Braxton Hunter. Who else? 64 at Wind River. He has a double eagle on Albatross. Doesn't get much better than that. Braxton, congratulations. It was a close vote.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'll say this. I think honorable mention, and John, I'll give John Wilkerson a little bit credit on this. He said honorable mention definitely has to go to Jimmy Himes for his captaining the Tennessee team in the Sports Writers Cup. So that's part that, you know, that's a pretty big deal too. So you've got to at least give honorable mention to your captaincy and bringing the cup home for Tennessee.
A lot of pressure on being the captain in that Ryder Cup format. Let me tell you. Yeah. Had to drink a lot of wine before
playing. Playing captain.
There you
too,
go. That's right. Exactly. All right. And then the Corn Ferry in Nashville. That was won by Brent Grant. He shot 16 under. They gave him a guitar.
So cool.
So whoever wins the Knoxville Open, what should that person get? What can Knoxville give him? Like a?
Well, they still give the big orange jacket.
They do?
I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, the guitar is pretty hard to beat. What could Knoxville give in that regard? It's kind of a hard one to think about.
Well, and you've also got the members of the committee that also have those orange jackets when they present it. Last year, they presented it to a guy from Georgia.
Yeah, which is even better. Love it.
Yeah, that's right. All right, what's the winning score going to be in the Knoxville Open? I've got my number picked out. Since I know the par now, it's going to be 70.
Yeah, I mean, last year, 20 under, I believe, or excuse me, 19, I believe, was the final score that won.
Okay.
And if you remember, Jimmy, perfect weather.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 17 under.
Wow. I wrote down 16.
Oh.
So you
close.
Got 17, I got 16. Okay. Yeah, that'll be pretty close.
I think it'll be just
see.
A little bit tougher than last year because maybe of a little bit of weather.
Yep.
But I think it'll still be a low. I mean, it's in too good a shape, and it's with the talent level of those guys, it's gonna be hard to beat.
Should be fun. You can still get tickets, and as we heard, you can park at Chilhowee Park, take the bus over, and you can buy your tickets there. I believe to be $10 to enter it. So we look forward to it. Should be a great crowd, great feel. Should be a lot of fun. Visit Knoxville Open, Holston Hills Country Club. Braxton Hunter, thank you for joining
me. Thank you, Jimmy.
We appreciate those that listen, and we look forward to a big week of golf. This has been Golf Talk.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.